and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Recently, the Selangor state government mooted banning all pet stores in the state from selling cats and dogs. This as a solution to the pressing issue of a stray animal overpopulation. But will this be an effective solution? So are there other things we need to consider? Managing stray animal populations sustainably and humanely lies at the intersection of animal welfare, state policies, and our collective responsibility as a humane and compassionate society. So joining us on the line now to help us think this through, we have Esther Lau. She's the president of the Animal Kindness Coalition and a stray animal activist at Second Chance Animal Society. Esther, thank you for being on the show today. Maybe you can begin by helping us better understand the current situation. What is the Selangor state policy in terms of managing stray animal populations, and where are the areas that you think we need to focus in on?
Okay. Hi, thank you, Melissa, and thank you for this opportunity to be here to share my experience and also my thoughts on this issues. So Selangor's current method of managing the strays is pretty much catch and cull. Catch and cull means they catch it and they will move it to a certain location and the animals will be euthanized given a time. So most of the general public would think that the animals are caught and they'll be sent to a shelter and that's where they will live there forever. However, that's not the case. So Selangor's policy is pretty much catching and culling. They will be in the shelter or in a pound, and at one point of time, maybe they are given 2 days, maybe they are given a week. It depends on which local district councils are doing, and they will be put down because they just couldn't sustain the number of animals that's been caught into the shelter. They couldn't sustain to keep them because it costs money to feed them, to clean them, to have manpower constantly to take care of them. And such is the sad state where all the animals are usually not taken care of because in the end of the day, they're going to be put down anyway. So there's no proper attention is being given to them because they're just getting ready.
So it's a catch and cull approach, and that's mainly driven by the lack of resources, the constraints, the financial and resource constraints on state governments. Is there a better way, Esther? Are there other ways that the state could possibly consider?
In my case, the TNRM also includes vaccination because we believe that vaccination should be part of the neutering process. So this is the research-proven method where there are a group of NGOs overseas that have done research, they've done surveys, and they conducted the TNRM program in pilot projects, and it's really proven and is fully widely worldwide accepted as one of the method of strays population control. The only good thing about it is being done humanely. So they catch the animal, they will send it to the vet or to their neutering center. The animals will get neutered, treated. If they have any existing health issues, they'll be vaccinated, and then their ears will be cropped most of the time. Certain places they will have the animals microchipped or tattooed or wearing collars. But recently, worldwide NGOs has agreed that putting on a collar is actually inhumane because some animals do actually gain weight after neutering. And if they are released and let's say the animal went disappeared somewhere or migrated, or the animal is a feral and it's very hard to catch back, and then they grow big and they ended up getting choked by the collar. So that's no longer effort. So then after...
Right, so let's walk me through the TNRM. So you've mentioned the different steps, but when it comes to the end of the day, these animals will be released back into where they were found or into their territory. How do we think about that? Because does that actually solve the stray animal population, which is what the state government is concerned about?
Yes, TNRM is not only just trap, neuter, release. That's where M comes in. So management is very important. How you define M, it can include a lot of things, actually. Number one, there has to be like a group of caretakers to like feed them or manage the animals. If there isn't a group of caretakers that is able, that available there all the time, then there comes the other management part, like ensuring that surveys are constantly done to keep track of the whereabouts of these animals or the condition of the living condition of these animals, and to see whether are these animals doing okay. If they are not, then is there a need to relocate them or rehome them? And they're being fed, they're being neutered, most importantly, they are being vaccinated. And if they are sick, then and the rehomable ones will definitely get rehomed. But they do struggle because the work involved takes a lot of time, takes a lot of money, and usually comes out from their own pockets. And it takes a lot of effort, resources as well, because if you want to rehome an animal, usually you have to rehabilitate them to make them, you know, more pet worthy, because some of them are feral, or some of them have never lived indoor before or have never interacted with human in a very close proximity. So all this thing takes a lot from like these small groups of feeders and rescue.
The management of it. I want to focus on the idea of rehoming strays, because the Selangor state government seems to think that adoption is the way to solve the stray animal population. There were plans to ban pet stores from selling cats and dogs so that the public would, you know, adopt from shelters. Do you think this is an effective solution, that this could be one of the a method to ensure that the stray animal population is controlled, but also in a humane way? Or might there be unintended consequences to this?
Well, as I mentioned, rehoming an animal requires a lot of resources and all. It's a very complex process that demands a lot of things. Someone needs to be expert in it. Someone must know how. It's like creating a Tinder for dogs and cats with human families, you know. So if you do not know this process, then you may not be able to match the animals with the right family. So it takes a lot of manpower and facilities as well to rehabilitate. So there are a lot of shelters here, the no-kill shelters, that are trying their best to rehome their own animals in within their shelter. But I do see all of them, I can guarantee all of them are struggling, because they just do not have that resources, because they are busy feeding them, cleaning them all the time. And those who are sick, those are their main focus. Therefore, the number of dogs, cats that keeps coming in is actually higher than the number of dogs and cats that gets rehomed or, you know, go out from the shelter. Yeah.
All right. So TNRM, is that a feasible solution for a state like Selangor, a highly urbanized state with a high stray animal overpopulation? Is it a feasible solution given financial constraint in terms of finances, resources, participation with community and animal welfare organizations? How do you see that working? Could it work in Selangor?
I do believe in Selangor it can work, because TNRM is being practiced by the local feeders and rescuers already. However, the challenges comes in when the release part was not done properly, because the release part is important to balance the community strays. If the population of the community strays is not balanced, then let me explain further what it means by balance. Once these neutered animals, vaccinated animals are released to the same location again, they need to stay there to protect their territory, so that there are no external animals who are not neutered and vaccinated that can come in. So, and they protect their area, then the neutering, the TNRM can then proceed to the neighboring areas. And you know, once all the populations are settled, then there's no more reproduction. So the number does not increase. In fact, we just wait for the nature to take its course to, you know, eventually the animal will die off of sickness or natural causes. Yeah. So I do believe that Selangor is already doing that, but however, it's failing because whenever there's a complaint about the population of these community animals, then the local councils come in and they catch the dogs and cats and they take it out. And then there's an empty space for the outside animals to come in and fill up the spot. And the feeders has to start all over again in catching these animals, neutering them, vaccinating them. So it's called a vacuum effect. So it is not a sustainable solution if the TNRM is not done properly. So that's why we are actually, in fact, Animal Kindness Coalition is actually talking to discussing and trying to find a solution with MBPJ to find a way to have this TNRM project to be done in Petaling Jaya, for instance. And we're in halfway through the process, and we're hoping that, you know, once everything is more refined in terms of the work paper, I mean the SOPs, right, then hopefully it will be done properly. Yeah.
Esther, very quickly in the last minute that we have left, what would you like people watching here to understand about the efforts to humanely manage the stray animal population?
So it is a whole society approach in order to make this a success, especially TNRM, because TNRM requires the public to choose kindness, acceptance and tolerance towards these animals that they are living, sharing the space together. Granted that there will be some issues with the animals, so that's where the TNRM role comes in, where they will ensure that suitable animals stays back and the unsuitable ones gets rehomed or gets rehabilitated first before releasing back or get relocated to a shelter in worst case scenario. At least we are humanely treating these animals instead of just catching them in a traumatizing way and just kill them. And where the local councils comes in, as long as the government is supporting the project, I do believe then the public will also eventually, you know, accept it, because it's a whole society approach once again. Everyone just has to hold hand and believe that this is the effort that is going to work and to solve the problem. It's not going to happen overnight. You will not see result overnight. You will still see the dogs and cats there for easily another 5 years or so. Because for TNRM to work, you need to be able to neuter 70 to 80% of the dogs and cats population for it to take effect. So that can be easy from 5 years to 10 years, but it is the humane way. So, I mean, we are working towards a developed country, right? Yeah, so.
Towards that, yes. Yeah.
Definitely one way. Hopefully we'll see some positive changes. Esther, thank you so much for speaking with me. Esther Lau from the Animal Kindness Coalition. We're going to take a very quick break here and Consider This. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Hello, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our conversation about the issue of managing stray animal overpopulations sustainably and humanely, finding that nexus of state policies, NGO efforts, and societal responsibility. Christine Chin joins us now. She's the chairperson of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, SPCA Selangor. Christine, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. We understand that SPCA Selangor, along with some other groups, have organized a mass neutering project. Potong Royong Klang, if I'm not mistaken. The idea is to help address the issue of stray animal overpopulation. Can we talk a little bit about that, Christine? How are you communicating to the public via this event the importance of spaying or neutering to reduce the stray animal overpopulation?
Okay. First of all, thank you very much, Melissa, for inviting me.
and you know, and to the public for, you know, having some interest in this issue. As you know, companion animals, which is dogs and cats, are beloved to many Malaysians. And when we see stray animals, you know, on the streets, either through abandonment or through continued reproduction by the stray population, Malaysians are always very kind and compassionate, and they continue to always feed. And, you know, try to rescue, meaning feed, and then spay, neuter, release, or rehome. So we feel that spay, neuter is one of the cornerstones of addressing a stray population, basically because stray population grows geometrically. You know, one, two pets will, or two cats will grow tremendously, right, over the years, because reproduction is every 3 months, and dogs' reproduction is every 6 months. Now, so to address this progression, if you just catch and rehome or catch and kill, which is what the strays, the pounds do for the stray animals, it is a arithmetic solution for to a geometric problem. It's not going to solve anything. Therefore, spay neuter it solves the geometric problem of reproduction. And massive spay neuter means for us is low cost spay neuter, subsidized by SPCA, subsidized by the state, hopefully even in the future, and subsidized by even, you know, rescuers. Spay neuter is very, very important because it stops the reproduction of not only your own animals, but also stray animals. And stray issues, yeah, are very complex. It's not just, you know, you just spay neuter and that's it. You must address through a bigger policy, umbrella policy. Yeah, and one of the policies we are expounding to the municipal councils is creating caring and compassionate communities. Municipal councils who run, you know, who manage the municipal municipals are, let's say, Subang Jaya, PJ, Ampang Jaya. We have, I think, I'm not sure how many municipal councils we have in Selangor, but they have a lot of power. They are the ones that issue licenses, that catch the dogs, that, you know, catch stray dogs. So we want them to work with us on Potong Royong. So basically, Potong Royong is one of the first steps towards creating caring and compassionate communities with municipal councils, with the residents' interest in spay neuter.
So that's what. Okay, so.
So how, let's talk about that collaboration first and foremost, because the city councils, the way they think essentially is, again, to solve the problem of stray animal overpopulation. By spay neutering, it would mean that this is a long-term effect. The effects can only be seen in the long term, that there will still be stray animals on the streets or in the communities. And that may not solve the problem for city councils. How do you communicate with them to talk about this, to think this through?
Okay, that's a great question, because you really need to spay neuter 85% of the fertile population before you see any significant you know, decrease in the spay population. So if you just, you know, spay neuter 10%, well, it will help, but it really will not solve the whole problem. So it needs a whole community. That's why we call it creating caring and compassionate communities. We need the whole community to be part of this. So the municipal councils can come up with maybe some funding, subsidize, and a place to spay neuter the animals, which is what Potong Royong is, a massive spay neuter place. You need a venue, you know, a big venue for this to happen. So the municipal council can come up with a venue. We will come up with the you know, the vets and the medication and everything, and the residents within the, you know, constituency, let's say of Subang Jaya, can address it by helping the municipal councils by, you know, really, you know, what do you call that, advising their friends, their neighbors, to go for the spay neuter, right, to be responsible pet owners. So everybody takes a stake. What you call a stakeholder. So every stakeholder has a place to improve the situation for stray animals and for companion animals.
Okay. I like the collaboration. I like the idea of state or city councils supporting efforts by organizations like the SPCA. But Christine, to be honest with you, I would rather see these efforts be institutionalized. Are there policy changes, legislative changes that can happen to make sure that these efforts are not just NGO-driven, but institutionalized by the state, that it becomes the responsibility of the state to take care of these animal, stray animal populations humanely?
Yeah, so that can happen if the municipal council or the state exco, right, the Selangor State Expo, or each whichever state expo takes the responsibility of, let's say, first of all, let's not call stray animals pests. Right now, stray cats and dogs are called pests. So when you have that categorization of pests, yeah, pests, not pets, pests. So when they are categorized as pests, the immediate thing that comes to their minds or to anybody's minds is that it is this pest needs to be eliminated, right? That needs killed. First thing is, please try to remove that categorization. They are not pests. They are just, you know, animals that have just, they're just animals that need homes or that need to be taken in to be cared for. So once they do not or stop that categorization of stray animals as pests, that would be, to me, a big step in saying, okay, they are living creatures. Let's see how we can improve the situation. And so that'd be one. To institutionalize it, the bylaws need to be changed. So the state bylaws would probably need to have, let's say, spay neuter be mandatory before licenses are issued for dogs. There are no licensing for cats, but also to probably mandate spay neuter for all animals, all companion animals. And if they wish to, you know, breed, which is not a bad thing, but breed responsibly. So have guidelines for breeders, things like that. You know, they can do that because they have the power. And we can propose these guidelines. And, you know, that would be one of the things. The other one would be the Ministry of Local Housing, right? As a federal ministry, they issue oversee housing developments. So when they issue a license for developers to build and make lots of money, perhaps they could do two things. One is to ensure that during the construction period, animals that are taken in, dogs that are taken in, stray dogs that are taken in, fed and cared for, to look after their equipment, when they stop building or when the building is completed, for them not to just dispose of the animals, of dogs. That's one thing. The second thing is perhaps having a shelter, a small shelter within in some developments, if the ministry would allocate that would be great. So instead of just having, oh, you must have green space, right? Or plot ratio of this, green space of that, and then a small little area for some animals, you know, for stray animals that do not have homes. Obviously, that would be wonderful. So these are the two things that I think that the Ministry of Local Housing could really, you know, could impose.
Right. And that's at the government level. What about the community level? You talked about a caring and compassionate community. It begins in the household. It begins with the neighborhood. What message would you like to give those watching tonight?
Well, the creating caring and compassionate communities with municipal councils actually is directed towards municipal councils. We just want to see that municipal councils improve their pound management to the extent that it becomes like an SPCA. You know, when I travel, especially, you know, I go to America quite often, the pounds, which are called animal control centers, are actually beautiful because the government or the state allocates funds to build a beautiful center, much like SPCA, believe it or not. And then the NGOs like SPCAs are not well built because they depend on private funding and they're not as nice and even as our SPCA. So what I think is important is if the municipal councils will come to SPCA and learn how we manage the place, having quarantine area, having spay neuter area, having a holding area, having an adoption area, all these things together would make it a very, turn a pound into a community center, you know, where people feel, oh, let's come to our community pound to adopt. You know, we don't need to go to SPCA, we don't need to come to us, but go to this community pound, our community pound to adopt, or community shelter to adopt. That'd be lovely. To me, that'd be the ideal. If I could see every community, every municipal council build a shelter, much like SPCA, but also, we also add education. and for responsible pet ownership. You know, so in a weekend, instead of going to the shopping mall or something, they can say, hey, let's go to our community, a shelter to either to volunteer or to adopt, things like that. So it will create, create a caring and compassionate community with the municipal councils. Yeah. So we also,
Right. Or simply just to spend time with some companion animals on the weekend, right? What better way is there to spend a weekend? Yeah. Christine, thank you so much for talking to me. I appreciate your time. Christine Chin of SPCA Selangor, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.